has joined. Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are you the first to arrive?
No, Maka's on also.
Okay.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Please join me in saying the Anabatha. Anabatha. Gedula Chiminka Dati Serura Aleph Gimel Yutat Sadi. Connecting to unconditional love. Gabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Kaharenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintetnun. These six Hebrew words, Ufreshayan Sintetnun, spell the Hebrew words Pra, which means to tear up, and Satan, the negative energy force. Na gibor dorshe yehuda kevavat shamrem nun gimel dalet yutav shin. This connects to parnasa and healing, because there is no healing unless you have sustenance. Barchem tacharem rachame sikadcha tamid namlem betet reish daditav gimel. This connects to the Sefirah of Netzach and the energy of eternity. Asim kadosh bero tuka nael adata et kufet et nunayan. These six letters connect to the Sefirah and its essence of appreciation and thankfulness. Yachid geye lamcha pene Zofre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamed Hei Zayin Kuf. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Yesod and its essence of the foundation, creativity, creation, and sexuality. Davatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumo Sintufa Tadiyuta. This sequence connects to the concept of completion, and more than completion, perfection. These six letters connect to the concept, the consciousness of injecting unconditional love in each step of our process. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoa, we say in a whisper, our class today is basic class number 12. The title is Healing All Sickness. find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. In row 12, the left-hand column, when you open up that landing page, scroll to the bottom. There's not many. Those are essentially people are not comfortable listening to why they become sick and how to heal all that.
Has joined.
So we will begin right after Alicia and Yehud. Healing all sickness. To understand this subject, one must truly realize that the cure comes before the disease. This is a simple statement to understand, yet almost no one truly is capable of using the cure since they abdicate their own responsibility for becoming ill. Let us ask some questions. Is illness judgment or mercy? If judgment, is there a cure for all illness? If mercy, what is the purpose of the illness? Which method of medical knowledge is right for me? Western medicine, Eastern medicine, homeopathic medicine, energy manipulation, healing medicine? How do I diagnose a disease? Does prayer work in healing? What is the actual purpose of illness in the plan of creation? Do people have to die in horrible pain? Is there another way? What are plagues? What is the purpose of bacteria and viruses? What, if any, are modern plagues? Why on an X-ray is a tumor appearing black? I am going to reread these questions, and I want you, my students, to ask additional questions, which I will hope to answer during this class. I expect this class to actually take more than an hour, so please be prepared for this eventuality. Actually, it usually is done in one session. But if you ask questions as we go along, and if you take the information I'm providing to heart, you'll find that it really takes much more than an hour to contemplate the truth of my sentences, the truth of my teachings. But remember, they're not my teachings. There are the teachings that come from the Kabbalah. I'm not going to reread the questions only because of time considerations. At the end of this class, I am going to describe an actual healing experience that I have had personally, and that I have participated with other people, utilizing what is taught in this class. The first question we have to ask, why do people become ill, or why do people become sick? In early generations, people did not grow old, and people did not get sick. When it was time to leave the world, they would sneeze, and their soul would leave the body through the mechanism of the sneeze, and they just dropped dead because their soul had left their body. According to the Midrash, Abraham asked the Creator to allow him to grow old in order that he and Isaac could be told apart, since they looked exactly exactly alike. Illness and sickness is not growing old. It is something else. Today, we equate illness and sickness as part of the aging process, but that is not correct. Aging is not a sickness, nor is it a wearing down of the duplication of the cells in the body, as science tends to teach. According to the Kabbalah, sickness is telling someone that they have made a big mistake. And the area of their body that has the sickness tells them where to look in their minds, in their history, for what mistakes they have made. And when I say the word mistake, I'm not referring to 2 + 2 = 5. I'm referring to someone being aware of what they do and the effect on their body of what they do. Jacob was the first person to become sick. This is due to a prayer of his that he would know the time of his passing so that he could put his affairs in order. The whole story of the parashiot, of the adoption of Menashe and Ephraim, and the whole parasha of Vayichi are the result of him becoming ill and preparing to pass on. These are the result of old age and not illness, according to Kabbalah. Now, what does this tell you, if it is true? And for me, it is true. But if it is true, what is this teaching us? And this is a very meaningful, non-written commentary. If these statements are true, then the purpose of illness, the purpose of aging, and I made a mistake when I said illness, but we have to realize that people age, and most people compare aging to illness, and they're two different things. The purpose of aging is to provide you with a reference point, that it's getting time for you to leave, and you need to prepare to leave. You need to do things in order to prepare to leave. But illness is something else. The purpose of illness is to wake you up so that you will do the right thing. Wake you up so you will become aware and prepare to die, to prepare to leave. Moses was told to prepare for when he left. That's old age, it's not illness. Did Moses make mistakes? Sure. He killed the Egyptian. Should he have done that? The answer is perhaps he should, perhaps he shouldn't. Did Moses make mistakes? It's hard for us to perceive Moses making mistakes. It's hard for us to find in the Torah where it says he made a mistake. And this is teaching us there's a difference between illness and old age. According to Kabbalah, sickness and illness are the effect of people making the mistakes in the game of life. Yet if we are in this world to make mistakes in order to learn, why do we become ill? If we're here to make mistakes, and we make those mistakes, and we can determine what was our mistake, why do we become ill? There's no need for it. But because Hashem injected mercy, loving kindness, chesed, tiferet, Hashem injected a consciousness into strict judgment, thereby sweetening that strict judgment. That is the purpose of illness, to wake you up, to let you know that you have done something wrong. But it doesn't tell you what you've done wrong unless you have learned Kabbalah, unless you have struggled to determine what was the thing you did wrong, because the distance between when you did the action, the cause, and when you did the effect, the illness, that effort to find out why you became ill, and the effort to learn what it was you made the mistake, what you did to make the mistake, that is the purpose of the illness, a wake-up call. Sickness and illnesses are wake-up calls. They do not happen the first time we make a mistake, except if we are dealing with very high and righteous souls. This brings up an important subject that must be realized in order to understand the answers to all of the above questions. Not everyone becomes ill for the same reasons. Every illness has a spiritual cause, and that cause is always relative to the tikkun of the soul involved, or the soul, the plural, of the soul involved. And let me say this again. Not everyone gets sick when they do a negative action. Some people will never get sick and will live their whole life totally against the Torah and good, decent human values. Some people will become addicted to drugs or to sex or to alcohol and never become ill or sick a day in their life. Is this fair? How do I get that kind of life next time? Do I want that kind of life in my next reincarnation? There are types of healings. There are criteria to heal. There are structures of healing. The spiritual system works in ways that are quite orderly and follow a system of laws called cause and effect. When the soul is born into a body, it takes fully 3 years for a body's soul to manifest into the body. During that time, the soul has a protection system that can only be pierced by actions from that soul's previous lifetime and or arguments between the parents. For a girl, the time is less than 3 years. I am not aware of the exact length of time, as I have never read it written anywhere yet. Until the boy is 13 years old, and 12 years for a girl, meaning the 13th year, the soul is only vulnerable to the same two potential causes of illness. Once a soul has its protection shield pierced, then the negative side attempts to influence the actions of the person to continue to do negative action so that the body becomes ill. The ultimate cure is always a form of teshuvah. It is easier to cure the soul than it is to cure the body. Any medical cure is dealing with the body and does not impact the soul, except certain energy healing manipulations and or holistic healing with the assistance of a student of Kabbalah or a Kabbalist. Let me repeat this in a different way. All sickness is a wake-up call. There is a final sickness at the end of a person's life that cannot be cured. This final sickness has the purpose of allowing someone to put his affairs in order, meaning to take leave of his loved one. This final sickness is a wake-up call and allowing someone to hurry and finish any unfinished tikkunim, corrections. Did I just say that old age is a sickness? I've spent the last 15 minutes telling you that old age and sickness are different. But in our world, in our culture, the term old age and sickness are connected somehow. So I use them together for us to think about why we have sicknesses. But in truth, old age is not a sickness, but a warning sign that it's time to put your affairs in order. But some people die from accidents. What is the meaning of that? Is it an illness? No, it's not. Is old age a wake-up call for that person? Yes, it is. I'm continuing to read. Any illness can be cured except old age, which is not an illness. Because everybody has to die, or so people think. But not anymore. People do not have to die. So why do people die? We will cover that in the class on reincarnation. But simply, people die because they expect to die. And I'm going to leave that statement undiscussed at this moment. So any illness can be cured except old age. Any illness is a wake-up call. The type of illness and the location of that illness within the body teaches people where the spiritual cause of the illness is located. Some examples of these teachings are, and before I go into the examples, I want to bring up an idea. Someone comes down with an illness. It's a debilitating illness. It's not going to kill you, except after many years, but it's a debilitating illness. It causes you to decline. It's similar to old age in that effect. But the issue that is there, for some reason, a gene had a switch turn on or turn off. What do I mean by a gene and what do I mean by a switch? And both of those terms, you have to go into DNA. You have to go into the cell and determine what action caused that switch to change from on to off or from off to on. Illnesses come in different ways. a virus or a bacteria attacks the body. It comes from outside the body and it attacks the body. It penetrates the wall of protection called skin. Other times, illness comes from switches in the DNA sequences. The switches come from genes in a cell. And when that switch gets turned on or turned off, that changes the behavior of the body. And essentially, those are the only two ways for an illness to come into the body or cause the body to decline or become ill. Perhaps we will have time in our classes to discuss switches. But everything is in the Torah. People do not understand or appreciate that complete sentence. The switches are known in the Torah. The problem is, we don't know how to read the Torah at that deeper level where it's telling us about switches and DNA. I'm going to read the paragraph that I read before once again. Any illness can be cured except old age. Any illness is a wake-up call. If you do teshuvah, that wake-up call has done its work and the illness goes away. The type of illness and the location of the illness within the body is teaching us, teaching people, where the spiritual cause of the illness is located, which sephirah. And some examples of these teachings are as follows. The human body has 248 parts and 365 ligaments and sinews. There is a one-to-one relationship between the part of the body and the soul, and the do these mitzvot. There is a one-to-one relationship between these mitzvot and the 248 words of the Shema Yisrael prayer. There are 365 sinews and ligaments, which have a one-to-one relationship with the 365 days of the year. There is an angel who has the mission to motivate people to do the do not mitzvot for that day. This means that there is a one-to-one relationship between the do not do the negative mitzvot, that angel, and that day of the year, and that body and soul part. These are all related one-to-one. There are lists of mitzvot, and there are machlokets, arguments for the sake of heaven, between various sages and the lists that they each have prepared. Essentially, the differences are not major, so using any one of the lists is correct for you. The human body is related to the tree of life. Any illness in any part of the body is an indication that the person has created an out-of-balance condition with that sephirah of the tree of life. There can only be three levels of sephirot to a given part of the body. An example would be chesed, shebegevurah, Shiva Tiferet. Those are three levels. Sephirah is a consciousness, a level of consciousness. The outermost of those three establishes the frame of reference. But then there is another Sephirah within, and even a third level. But when it comes to the body, when it comes to the illness, there is no fourth level. Most of us don't understand that, so we complicate our understanding of the physical world. I'm continuing to read where I left off. The first level follows the Tikkun HaNefesh chart. The other two levels need to be revealed when the body parts are related to the body systems. And a sage relates all of this together. This may wait for Mashiach to manifest, or it may be the indication that the Mashiach consciousness has arrived to that person. Or it may be the revelation of the prophet Elijah, Eliyahu HaNavi. But knowing these three levels will help you determine where your illness is. Each generation has a general tikkun or correction to share and to fix together. What does this mean? It means you come from a part of the body of Adam. You come from one of the 248 parts of Adam, or one of the 365 parts of Adam. And every other soul that comes from that part of Adam, you need to make a tikkun, a correction. Tikkun has nothing to do with an illness. An illness has to do with you doing a mistake, as it has to do with you doing an action that creates illness from your situation, from your tikkun. But you have a tikkun that any one of the souls that come from Adam's body part, that you also come from, you can achieve your tikkun. You can make that tikkun. You can make that correction. That's all it is. But in addition to that, one item, one tikkun that you have the responsibility to achieve, you have the responsibility to achieve the tikkun that only you can achieve throughout your life. If you don't do it in this lifetime, you will have to come back and complete it in the next lifetime. And if you don't do it in the next lifetime, you'll have to come back again until you and only you can achieve that tikkun. But the other tikkunim, where it's the body part has the responsibility, because you all come from that part of Adam's soul, that correction, any one of your soul sisters and brothers can achieve. I'm continuing to read. Each generation has a general tikkun to share and to fix together. This is in addition to the tikkun of the body part of Adam. This is in addition to the body to the action that you have to achieve that only you can achieve. You have a generational tikkun as well. When an illness becomes a plague, like the pandemic, the generation is being woken up. A type of plague that the generation is experiencing indicates the location of that tikkun in the tree of life. So you have a tikkun that relates to the tree of life. You have a tikkun that relates to Adam. And you have a tikkun that relates specifically to you and no one else. Is there a tikkun from the tree of knowledge, good and evil? Is there a fourth level? I'll let you ponder that. You have a tikkun with yourself. You have a tikkun with other individual people. You have a tikkun with history. You have a tikkun with all the people born in the year you were born. All of these tikkunim are coming from your personal mistakes that you made in a previous lifetime. I'm trying to explain to you how tikkun is different. Different frames of reference. I hope you're learning this. It is best to speak to a student of Kabbalah to assist you in determining the spiritual cause of any individual disease. Because you could have cancer of the liver, and you would have a different correction than someone else who has that same cancer of the liver. So it is best to speak to a student of Kabbalah who is going to use his intuition to determine what is the correct tikkun. When you decide to ask a student of Kabbalah, please be sure that you are willing to hear the answer. Even if you are not yet willing to do the teshuvah that's involved, the student of Kabbalah should be one of your teachers, and it is incorrect to seek answers from more than one student of Kabbalah at a time, just as it is incorrect to choose to connect with one rabbi or in modern terminology, do not go rabbi shopping. You ask a rabbi, listen to the answer. Don't ask another rabbi. If you ask a student of Kabbalah, listen to the answer. Don't ask another student of Kabbalah. Always remember that the student of Kabbalah is still in the process of achieving his or her personal tikkun. They may have physical illnesses. That does not mean that they do not know their own spiritual cause, or that they would not be able to assist you in knowing your spiritual cause. The language of branches versus the language of science. Some of the next section is the writings of a student of Kabbalah named Billy Phillips. The language of science is well known in the current generation. It is a different vocabulary than the language of Torah, called the language of branches by Rabbi Ashlag. The language of branches uses physical things to describe spiritual causes. Kabbalah uses the language of branches. 2,000 years ago, the Kabbalists and the Zohar said the hands were one of the most negative parts of the human body because they carry particles of negativity and darkness. And this is why we must wash our hands upon waking, using a special prayer to neutralize these negative forces. The Zohar says sleep is 1/60th of death. Our hands attract this energy of death during our sleep. This is why we wash our hands in the morning and anytime we nap or sleep longer than 30 minutes. This is also why we must wash before eating bread, using a specific prayer. It cancels out the particles of darkness that accompanied or accumulating in our hands or on our hands throughout the day. And this is why we must wash after a meal. Washing of the hands, according to Kabbalah, is the most powerful way to prevent sickness and darkness. Hand washing. Today, hand washing, the Torah tells us, medical science tells us, that the hands are the primary cause of illness. 40 million Americans a year become sick from germs spread by the hands. As such, as much as 500,000 bacteria can be found per square centimeter on our hands. Science uses the words germs and bacteria. But these are, in fact, the negative forces that the Zohar is speaking about. Language is simply creating a bit of confusion. Actually, negativity and darkness are terms and the vocabulary of the language of branches, while bacteria and germs are the language of branches, the language of science. They both refer to the same causes. One is in the upper world, and one is the manifestation in the world of Malchut. Medical science and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, tells us that all these killer superbugs and deadly nightmare bacteria are becoming immune to antibiotics. Scientists are predicting an antibiotic apocalypse. I personally experienced this aspect in the past 2 weeks. One of my doctors became concerned regarding my elevated white cell count and determined it was due to two infectious bacteria, both of which respond to the current antibiotics. Yet they could not prescribe these antibiotics due to the interactions with my other medications for high blood pressure, for cholesterol, for diabetes. For me, this became additional information about my spiritual actions that caused these infections and the process of curing myself. For the doctor, it is another concern of the antibiotic apocalypse. The solution, according to medical science, to the apocalypse is to prevent the infections. How? By washing our hands with water. It took science and medicine 2,000 years to catch up to this information from the Zohar. They're warning us to make sure that that doctors and dentists wash their hands before treating us. We should wash our hands on a regular basis to drastically reduce the risk of catching some deadly bacterial infection. Now, if the world only knew the power of the Kabbalistic prayers that go along with the washing of the hands, if only the world washed their hands upon waking each morning, using the prayer technology to neutralize and cancel out the force of death, we could rid the world of these nightmare bacterial infections. More important, if we change our behavior towards one another by transforming our consciousness using these same Kabbalistic technologies, we will rid the world of all disease and all problems and all of the chaos. The Zohar and Torah prescribe circumcision for the same reason. The Zohar explains that the greatest negativity is found attached to the foreskin, and that is why it must be removed. There are deeper reasons than being stated here for the circumcision, for the Brit Milah. Science now tells us that the foreskin is the most vulnerable area for HIV virus. The foreskin dramatically raises the risk for HIV infection. If we read the latest medical studies connecting HIV to foreskin, it sounds like a Kabbalistic book. The power of the immune system. We have about 10 minutes left in the class. And we do have time to read about the power of the immune system. But I want to emphasize that I have left and discussed many different hints in what I have said so far about illness and how about removing illness. So please listen to the recording and contemplate what has been said. Continuing to read. Without question, the most powerful medical technology to ward off sickness and disease, both physical and spiritual ailments, is the third meal of the Shabbat. The third meal literally boosts and balances the human immune system. Please see below for a specific third meal ritual that is highly recommended to perform each and every Shabbat. The Zohar says the chaos, darkness, and madness in our world will continue to increase until we finally surrender and embrace this ancient spiritual wisdom, which has the absolute answer and solution to every single ailment and problem that plagues our world. But it is important to know and to note that once a disease manifests in your life, it is very difficult to change the physical manifestation. But it is possible. I'm continuing to read. The only thing preventing us from truly transforming our world into paradise is the human ego. The human ego despises the Zohar, and it will subvert and sabotage all efforts to connect people to it. This is why the third meal on the Shabbat is the least attended event each and every week all over the world. It is the least understood and the least popular. It has always been up to the Israelites to share this technology with the world. But the human ego created a religion instead of a spiritual path. Wisdom and technology that was specifically designed to rid all of mankind of sickness, poverty, pain, and death itself. This is an attempt to explain the differences between the Jewish religion and the Kabbalistic religion, if there is one. The ego simply arouses procrastination and doubt in our own minds so that we continue on with our normal course of action, which is to run to our prescription med and our antibiotics to solve the symptoms of our problems. We do this because we do not want to accept our responsibility. Continuing to read. But an antibiotic apocalypse looms on the horizon, chas v'shalom, God forbid. In the year 2014, in the anticipation of Mashiach, the Kabbalah teaches this tool of the third meal. This Kabbalistic tool is taught and has been taught for 2,000 years, but not the way it needed to be taught, not in a Kabbalistic understanding, because the science wasn't yet up to date. Soon there will be a weather apocalypse that will strike our planet. It seems to be happening this past year and this year. And I'm saying this alone.
Has joined.
I don't want it to happen. And an economic apocalypse will emerge, chas v'shalom, in the year, in the future. And there will be a crime apocalypse that will appear. All of these things appear to be happening. It's up to us to realize these are illnesses of society. And society needs to heal itself using the same techniques that I'm talking about here of healing yourself. Until we finally change, Bezrat Hashem, with the help of God, in anticipation of the Mashiach consciousness, we have to realize the tools will work on the individual, on the family, on the community, and even on the society as a whole. Make no mistake, Hashem does not punish us. We punish ourselves by clinging to the very behavior that God has put us in, that has caused us to come into this mess in the first place. Ego, self-interest, negativity, pessimistic consciousness, these are the cause of what allows these ailments to live and thrive in our society. We turn the light off, but the power and divine electricity is always there, always present, waiting for us to flip the switch, the off. Every act of kindness to our enemy, the Satan, flips on the switch. Every act of diminishing my own ego flips on the switch. Every time I give up my opinion for the sake of unity with my competitor, with my foe, with my friend, light begins to shine. We are out of time for this class. We will continue with this teaching starting at this location, third meal ritual. I will provide that. I will build on today's class. I hope you will join me. Does anyone have any questions?
Did you say that the class, continuing class, is at 4:30 today?
No, this class will continue a week from today at 11 a.m. West Coast time, 2 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock Central time, and noon on Mountain time.
Thank you. Clarification. No, you're going to post this class on the listing?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to post this class on the listing?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
I bid you all a good week. Shalom Gadol to all. Much peace and serenity in your life. And the first step to serenity is to recognize that whatever is bothering you is curable. You just have to find that cure. It may not be easy to cure you, but it is possible to cure you. And that's an important first step, to know that you can cause your own cures. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.